Good morning, New Mexico. Welcome to the Santa Fe Radio Cafe. My name is Mary Charlotte. We're broadcasting from the Santa Fe Baking Company, streaming on the web at ksfr.org, podcasting at santafe.radiocafe.org, thanks to Santa Fe's .foil computer services, and you can find us at facebook.com/radiocafe. Later on in the program, Robert Knott will be with us speaking of the arts. Right now, I am very happy to welcome Deborah Dennison. She is the artistic director of the Arden Players, and we are also joined by Beth Kennedy Jones and Carrie Kyo, who are all involved in a piece which opens tonight called The Laugh of the Irish, Three Irish Comedies. Welcome to the Radio Cafe.
Hi. Thank you for having us.
So, Irish comedies, three very famous playwrights, especially if you are somewhat involved in Irish theater and Irish playwright.
Absolutely, yes. We've got the first play is by John Millington Synge, J.M. Synge, who was the co-founder of the Irish National Theater, housed at the Abbey Theater in Dublin, which is world famous. The next play is by George Bernard Shaw, whom a lot of people mistakenly think is English, but he's not, he's Irish. As indeed a lot of famous English playwrights are actually Irish.
Is that right?
Oh, yeah. And then the last one is actually by a contemporary writer who died just last year. What I find interesting is that there are similar threads through all three plays, although they're very different.
Tell us about the three plays that you've chosen. So I guess to do a night of three plays, you've got to pretty much choose three shorter plays.
We hope they're short. They're supposed to be short. So far, we've kept them short. The first one's only just under half an hour, and it was takes place at about the turn of the 20th century. J.M. Synge is very well known for capturing country dialect and country idiom in Ireland, going out into places which the Anglo-Irish intelligentsia would never have gone, and turning those characters into dramatic characters in plays. At some point, these became quite controversial, and in fact, one of his plays, when it opened at the Abbey Theatre, it caused riots among the audience.
Why?
We hope not to have riots.
Why did it cause riots?
Well, I believe it was Playboy of the Western World.
It was.
Yes. And he says fairly controversial things about the church, about the state, and about the way people deal with each other. And he's fairly rough and fairly honest about life in the country, the difficulty that people face, the abuse of women, the abuse of women by men and by the church. It was fairly revolutionary for his time.
So this, In the Shadow of the Glen...
In the Shadow of the Glen, that's the
one. Is a comedy. Are
it
we
is
going
a comedy.
To be treated to abuse and horrors against women?
And we'll
like
laugh
that?
Heartily at it, yes. Indeed. It sounds like a contradiction in terms, but if we can't laugh at our biggest pain, then we're in trouble.
And sometimes that's the only way to look at it without recoiling.
Exactly, yes, yes.
So, George Bernard Shaw, G.B. Shaw.
G.B. Shaw.
A lot of initials here.
A lot of initials, yes. We have a plethora of initials. This play, Dark Lady of the Sonnets, is a plea for a national theater, actually, which Shaw was quite a crusader for. And it also is a bit of an inside joke for theater people. I won't give it away, but only to say that it involves an extremely well-known playwright.
Oh, we don't get to know who?
With an entirely different angle on how he became so famous and where he got his material from.
Ah, okay.
So,
well, it reminded me of a certain movie that came out
yes.
some years ago.
Some similarities.
Somebody or other in love.
Yeah, something in love, yes.
And then the third one is John B. Keane, J.B. Keane. And I saw the second and third one in rehearsal and saw the whole of this play called The Matchmaker, which is a hilarious play in which you, Carrie, play a matchmaker who is trying to bring different Irish people together in love.
Yes, and there were, in fact, matchmakers still working in the 50s and 60s and perhaps into the 70s in the more remote parts of Ireland, particularly on the west coast. This matchmaker is set in County Kerry, which is where I was born. And John B. Keane, in fact, is a friend of my family, so I knew him quite well. And a lot of the women left the countryside and migrated to Dublin into civil service jobs and so on. So there were a lot of farmers in their 40s looking for brides. And matchmakers weren't quite active in trying to set them up. And this play is about that. Though he spreads his net wider than County Kerry. There are people from Limerick and Clare and elsewhere around the place.
And it's very funny, and it has this thing that I think is just beautiful, which is the ability to get very serious and poignant in a moment and be funny again and just weave together all these emotions of life in a really beautiful way.
That's what I loved about it. It was Kerry's suggestion that I look at that because I wanted a play that was in contrast to the other two and possibly something a bit more contemporary. And when I read it, I actually read it as a published book. They did it as a play in Dublin some years ago, not all that long ago. excuse me. And John B. Keane himself compiled it into a play, but they never published it. So I had to start from scratch again and create the play all over again. And that was what attracted me to the material. Not only is it funny, but it's also quite moving, which I thought was lovely.
And one of the things about a play that has the structure of basically letters, the whole play is letters that people sitting on the stage read aloud, is that there is no physical action really at all. And all the action takes place in your imagination, which makes it a very vivid play.
Well, that's great. I'm glad you think
that's
so.
Good to hear.
I have a particular love of epistolary plays because, and even of staged readings, because they do let the audience's imagination go wild. But I swear to you, I saw the landscapes and the places and the pubs and so on that are described in The Matchmaker.
Mm. Yeah, that's good.
That's good. The Snug and Shaughnessy's bar, yes.
Exactly. So how many people are Irish involved in this production?
I have a bit of Irish ancestry, a little tiny bit, but and I was first in Ireland when I was 2 years old. But Kerry is the true Irishman here.
So what I was wondering was, it seems to me that when you do plays like this, there is so much humor and just content that is specifically Irish, some of which will necessarily be lost on the rest of us.
Yes, that can be difficult. I mean, if you have lived it, you understand the nuances of some of the humor. So I guess it's part of our job as actors to try to communicate it somehow. And it'll be interesting to see if it does communicate, because I know countries have their own humors. The Irish humor is somewhat sardonic. English humor is quite different. American humor tends to be quite broad. So I hope an American audience will grasp all the humor in this. You seem to grasp it. You said you enjoyed it.
In fact, I was there with my friend, and we were talking afterwards about how for the first minute and a half we had trouble understanding your accent, but then either it softened or we got used to it. I think it was the latter.
Yeah, I think your ear gets attuned. I am using a pretty broad County Kerry accent with which I was surrounded growing up, though I didn't typically use it myself unless I was trying to make a point.
And, of course, Beth has Irish ancestry. She's a Kennedy, so
I am a Kennedy, although my Kennedy is Scottish, but I do have a little bit of McKeever in me, so little Irish, but Kerry's been trying to help us with all of our accents, which has helped.
Yeah,
it's amazing how sometimes they fluctuate. You know, somebody starts and it's really strong, and then it goes into a little bit of English, and then it kind of rounds around the corner. But I think that the stories that are being told, though, are common to every culture, and you're seeing them painted in a certain way, which is the Irish accents and humor, but basically the stories of love or how people are looking for love or companionship. Or with Kerry, it's interesting how he treats women very differently than men, or his character treats women, the sexes, very differently, although he thinks of himself as being really inclusive of both sexes. But each play, I think, touches on that, mm-hmm. that we're doing.
It's surprisingly feminist in many ways.
Yes.
Which is something you wouldn't necessarily expect from Irish playwrights, but there you are, you see.
There's also a very freely expressed sexuality, which
oh, yes.
it struck me as I was watching it, is that maybe this is something you wouldn't find in the equivalent English play.
Well, that's an interesting point.
I mean, I don't know.
I'm trying to think of contemporary playwrights who are quite as raunchy as this. But it's kind of a well-meant raunchiness, and we do warn people that it's what I would call sexually honest humor.
No actual profanity that I recall.
No, it's not profane, it's just honest. And if you don't like that kind of thing, you probably won't want to come.
leave after the first two.
Yeah, well, even the first one, it's not exactly, tame, but there you are.
But it's not really done, though, to impress anybody. It's just a part of the culture.
Absolutely, yeah.
And a part of life.
Mm-hmm. And these are mostly country people we're talking about, so they're around bulls and cows and sheep, so
right,
I mean,
right.
Sexuality is a part of everyday
absolutely.
Life.
It's the norm.
Mm. Oh dear, I hope that doesn't give people the wrong impression. It's not that raunchy.
No, it really isn't, and it's, I mean, I think really we are in such a different kind of matchmaking culture in right now, but the exact same issues come up with people who are doing computer match dating. I mean, my Sicilian grandmother was a matchmaker, and she made at least 12 matches that ended in marriage, and I've made one, and I'm very pleased, actually two, I'm very pleased with myself, and this is something that people still do.
Fabulous. We've got a big treat at the very end of the run on the 21st, which is the Sunday. We're going to have a Cayley after the show. And we've got...
Now, what is a Cayley?
A Cayley is a kind of celebration, a gathering in which you have music and poetry and often dancing, although we're not having a lot of dancing, but if people want to dance, they can. And Jerry Carthy's putting together a group of Irish musicians, bringing in Declan Hunter from Ireland. And I think we're going to have a grand time after the show. You can come to the Cayley separately if you want to, or you can get a bargain price and come to both.
Now, is that a word that is old-fashioned, or is that something that you have?
No, Cayley is the Irish word that means music and dance, and basically means a celebration.
And so you use it in Ireland, it's not...
Yes, I mean, when I was a teenager, they used to have dances for teens, and they were called Cayleys because they had typically Irish music rather than any more modern music. So it's just an Irish language word.
How did you end up here in the U.S.?
Well, I migrated here many moons ago. I'm a chemical engineer by training, and I came here to work in big chemical companies. I had been a professional actor in Ireland along the way. Most of the time while I was a student, I was acting professionally. And I mistakenly thought I could be both a chemical engineer and subsequently a businessman and continue to act as much as I wanted to, but I couldn't. But
so what fell away, the acting?
Well, I managed to keep acting through the first 20 years or so of my business career. After that, I became so tied up in business, I took about a 10-year hiatus. And I missed it, so I retired early from being a captain of industry so I could get back to acting.
and in Santa Fe, of all places?
Well, Santa Fe we chose in part because there's a lot of theater here. I mean, we went through this whole planned analysis of where one might retire. And my wife is an art historian by training, so she was interested in somewhere with a lot of art. I was interested in somewhere with a lot of theater. And this, came out top of our list.
Now, do you often do Irish roles?
Well, I used to. I trained at the Abbey Theater in Dublin and did a lot of Irish plays there, and I've done a few over the years. I've done a number of sing plays over the years. But there haven't been many Irish plays done in Santa Fe, though I've done a few Irish-American plays. I did the subject was Roses quite recently, where the older protagonist is an Irish-American. But no, I've done more English work, I would say, than Irish work over the years.
So you a little switch over.
Well, I went to university in England, so I'm not totally unfamiliar with English accents.
Right. Beth Kennedy Jones, what about you? Tell us about your acting career.
Well, my husband Tad and I, and Tad's in the show as well.
And is sitting on the sidelines quietly, not wanting to.
We've just recently moved to Santa Fe. And part of the reason was that there was this theater community here, and also the film community that we know that Richardson is so encouraged with the tax incentives. We had gotten out of acting basically for the last 20 years. We have a combined family of 6 children. And so we got into producing and directing primarily the theatrical components and very large-scale events. And that took us to Washington, D.C. We did a great deal of work there with very, very large events, fun things. But at some point we said, back basically in 2005, we said we want to go west.
What kind of large events? What do you mean?
A lot of big fundraisers. We did several things for the White House. But in the area of the arts, like several years ago, producing the National Endowment for the Arts and Humanities Awards Ceremony, when because every year certain artists get awards like Yo-Yo Ma, Mike Nichols, and Kirk Douglas, things like that, producing things like that.
And
so it was fun, but it was not acting. So we moved west in 2005, lived in Colorado briefly, and then found Santa Fe, or it found us, it drew us down here. And we've been here for basically the last year and have just recently gotten out there and started acting again, which is really our first love.
Well, I saw you both in Benchwarmers, and you were terrific, and so we look forward to seeing more of both of you.
Well, thank you. We're really enjoying it.
Deborah Dennison, tell us more about the Arden Players and how you came to found this group.
Well, we're moving into our fifth season. We started about 5 years ago. The mission of the company was to bring major works of dramatic literature, ancient and foreign, to Santa Fe audiences in one hopes quality productions that people will enjoy and find accessible.
Primarily British Isles?
Not necessarily. We did Tartuffe last year, dipping into the continent. I wouldn't mind doing some Japanese plays. I mean, I think world literature is rich and yet to be explored fully in this town, so we have plenty of things to do.
When you say world literature, are you talking beyond plays?
No, I mean world dramatic literature.
Okay.
We've got all of Russia, we've got the Far East. I mean, the Japanese theater has extraordinary history.
I mean, just because the Matchmaker really was adapted from something that wasn't a play to begin
with. True, although that wasn't my original idea. That was the playwright's idea. And in fact, Keane has written an awful lot of plays. He's, I think, known as much as a playwright as he is for the prose works that he's published. So,
tell us about your own background as an actor.
Well, I spent a number of years in the New York and London theater. I trained in London and came back to New York and worked for about 11 years off-Broadway and did a bit of directing and producing as well in New York. And then got waylaid by the film industry and worked in that for about 20 years. And I formed the Arden Players a few years ago because I realized that there were things I felt passionate about and wanted to do, and if I didn't do them now, I'd be too old soon. So I went back to my first love.
And so you get to direct and also be in these many
every
of these
now and
plays.
Then. I don't perform a lot, but just every now and then.
Uh-huh. Well, we will get a chance to see you on.
I'm afraid so. Yes.
So The Laugh of the Irish, 3 short comedies by great Irish playwrights, opens tonight. It's Friday, Saturday, and Sunday at 8:00 on Friday and Saturday, and 2:00 on Sunday. This weekend, next weekend, and the weekend after.
Yes, 3 weekends.
3 weekends, and it is at the Teatro Paraguas Studio, which is at 3221 Richards Lane. And for more information, people can call 505-920-9000. 0303. And if you look up Teatro Paraguas, you can find out where it is. It's not hard to find. It's kind of on the same road off of Cerrillos that Home Depot is on. And a small but really nice space.
I think so. And it's welcoming, it's warm, and we're having a lot of fun there. So we're very glad to be there.
Deborah Dennison is Artistic Director of the Arden Players. Beth Kennedy Jones and Carrie Keough, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you for having us.
We're going to take a break right now, and we'll be back with Robert Knott in just a moment. Please stay tuned. I'd like now to welcome Robert Knott. He is the education writer with the Santa Fe New Mexican. He is also with the Pasatiempo, and he's with us speaking of the arts just about every Friday. Welcome, Robert.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm fine. It's rather early.
It's a beautiful morning. Maris Charlotte's got a stunning little smile all the while. Today in Pasatiempo, we have on the cover story. What do you know about her?
You tell me. Oh, Annie Leibovitz.
She's gonna be the woman of distinction. Go ahead.
Yeah, no, she... you tell me. I mean, she's a portrait photographer who's photographed many famous celebrities and uses a lot of lighting, even outdoors.
Right. She's done amazing Vanity Fair covers that we all think of. But she started working, Connecticut-born. I think she started working in the 60s as a painting student. But she's being honored as part of the Georgia O'Keeffe Museum Women's of Distinction series. Proceeds are going to benefit both the museum's art and leadership program for girls. This event is 7 o'clock Saturday night at the Lenzic. You got to pay to get in. You can pay a lot of money and have a pre-event reception with her, or you can just pay enough to sit in the chair. 988-1234, and a really nice piece by Paul Weideman in today's Pasatiempo.
Excellent.
Also, the two women dancing are back for what they claim to be their last joint performance. Do you know who they are?
Yes, indeed.
Julie Brett Adams and Kay Everly. And they are doing their show. They say it's going to be the last time they work together.
Why is that? We've had them on the air before. I haven't had them on every year. Probably should have done so this year. But nevertheless, they have been dancing as a pair. They do this performance every year. They are aware of the whole process of getting older as a dancer. Why is this the last year?
Well, there's a nice piece by Michael Wade Simpson in today's Pasatiempo that explains some of that. I think they feel like they've done all they can do, and they're, I'm going to say, 6 or 7 years together. They're going to be dancing at the Santa Fe Playhouse this weekend and next weekend. You got to pay to get in. No credit cards. It's, I think, cash and check only.
Good to know.
Here's the phone number, 986-1801. But the Santa Fe Playhouse is at 142 East of Vargas. That phone number is 988-4262. See the Pasatiempo story in today's Pasatiempo. And theater-wise, The Sunshine Boys, goofy
Yay.
Neil Simon comedy.
That should be fun.
It should be. It's about...
I went to the very beginning of it, and they were hilarious. They really were very funny.
Oh, good. You mean the early rehearsals?
Yeah.
Good.
No, I went to the first two scenes of a recent rehearsal.
Okay. Well, they're over there, Paul Walsky and Jonathan...
Richards,
and it's opening at the Armory for the Arts tonight, and it runs through March 21st, which is good, because I'm pretty tied up the next 2 weeks.
As does three Irish comedies.
I was going to come up to that next.
But the Arden Players.
The Arden Players, with three Irish comedies, just in time for, and you can expect me to sing Danny Boy next week.
Oh, goody.
Just in time for St. Patrick's Day, naturally. Valentine's Day.
You've still got love on your mind from last month.
It's called The Laugh of the Irish. Three short comedies. 8 o'clock tonight at the Teatro Paraguas Studios on Richards Lane. Here's a phone number. 920-0303. That's tonight at 8 o'clock.
Tonight and tomorrow, and then
Sunday at 2. And I don't know whether Arden Players has a pay what you wish. Some do, some don't. Their Sunday matinees, pay what you wish. It's the weekend of The Moon Is to Live On, multimedia performance art production at Warehouse 21. I'm going to see it Sunday. I hear it's very good. I hear it's sold out. I hear it's 3 hours long, which is always
taxing
my time. 3 hours?
I went to the run-through, and it was more like 2 hours
long. Well, it says here 2 to 5 p.m. Sunday, 989-4423.
That's a little scary.
It is. I'm not going to be able to stay for the whole thing, but I will go see it. And then there's Rhythm of Fire with the Bellissima Irish Dance Company performing traditional and original dances at 2:30 Sunday. At the James A. Little Theater, New Mexico School for the Deaf, 1060 Sarios Road, 670-1325. And we don't mention prices on the air here, but you got to pay to get in. And just that same day, one last little thing. If you like poetry, and who doesn't? If you like International Women's Day, and who doesn't? Debbie Brody, I know her. Ann Hunkins, I know her. Mariah Williams, I think I know
her. You know everybody, Robert.
And Kathaman, who I do not know. 3:30, Sunday. They're going to be reading at the Unitarian Universalist Congregation of Santa Fe at Barcelona Road, 988-1655. Doesn't say anything about a ticket price. That could be Pastor Tiempo's mistake. I'm willing to bet it's pretty inexpensive or cheap. Give a ring to go in there. Again, it's Poetry Readings, International Women's Day, Sunday at 3:30. And now I will drink water while I make my ventriloquist dummy talk.
Oh, dear. Okay. We have a ticket giveaway.
Oh, boy.
Are you going to talk about Janice Ian?
I was, but first I want you to do, like, not, like, the third person. Here's what would be interesting.
What?
If you did the first person who calls or the 15th, because then you have, like, all these people scrambling to call, and you keep them on the lines for, like, 10 minutes.
Yeah, but they're not allowed to call until I say go, so anybody who calls before that doesn't count.
All right, so Janice Ian, she came and played the Paramount in its closing days. I went and saw her. I interviewed her. I love her music, her old music, her new music. And she is definitely coming back to town. And she's here to play, where the heck is she playing? I'll tell you in a minute, because I know everything thanks to the Pasca Tiempo, your favorite arts and entertainment magazine, which is going online today, but you have to subscribe.
It was online before.
It went online for like a year free, and now they've changed it, and it's online. There's an ad in Pasca Tiempo. You can find out more about it. But
Marilyn LeBlanc.
There is.
I don't know
away.
What she's singing, though.
No, she's at when and where?
Santa Fe Brewing Company, this Saturday, March 6th,
tomorrow?
At 7:30 p.m.
Excellent.
And one pair.
One pair of tickets to the Marilyn, you name it. 4th, 10th, 15th caller?
Oh, boy. Let's say the 7th.
The 7th caller, 428-1382. And then you can come back and tell us when the tickets are given away so you don't have to keep answering the phone.
That's a good idea. And Paul Weideman wrote the piece. It's in today's PASA, page 16. I just found it. As you know, you may not know, Sunday night is Oscar night. Why am I singing that song from Guys and Dolls? It has nothing to do with it. Most people will probably stay home and watch the Oscars. And we have a lot of Oscar coverage in Pasa Tiempo, and I'm happy about it because I wrote one of the pieces. Jonathan Richard did his picks for Best Picture. He always does his choices and then his predictions. Sometimes they line up, sometimes they don't. Rob DeWalt did a nice piece on Oscar soundtracks, movie soundtracks. Rob DeWalt and me had fun time writing about films released in New Mexico last year that weren't Oscar nominated. And my column, The Big Picture, interviews Thomas Cobb, who wrote the novel Crazy Heart, shot in New Mexico, and featuring Academy Award-nominated actors Jeff Bridges and Maggie Gyllenhaal. Sorry. So take a look, see at all that stuff.
And she's a good actor.
They're both good actors, and he's been nominated so many times. I really hope he, the film is flawed, but I hope he gets it. And in case you care, the movie still runs over at the Vargas Mall.
And the Improvising Composer is an all-day event tomorrow at the Santa Fe Complex from 10 in the morning until late into the evening, because there's going to be a performance at 8 in the evening. So it's a workshop during the day for people who want to learn more about software and the technology of improvised music. And then at 6 o'clock, there's a panel discussion hosted by the wonderful and charming Craig Smith, and knowledgeable Craig Smith. And then at 8 o'clock, there's a concert. So that's all at Santa Fe Complex, sfcomplex.org.
Pretty good, pretty good.
Just saying.
Graffiti Works, Collected Works Bookstore. It's work by Santa Fe Art Institute's Youth Education and Outreach Program.
Yes.
Their students, their mentors, their teachers, going to have live music, spoken word poetry, and a panel talk about graffiti and the law. This is 6 o'clock tonight at Collected Works, 202 Galisteo Street, and the exhibit runs through April. Meanwhile, if you run over to the College of Santa Fe Fine Arts Gallery, you're going to see the show Doodle? Which is a group show by members of Site Santa Fe's Youth Curators Program, 5 to 7 p.m.
Tickets are gone for Janice.
Tickets are gone. Thank you, listeners.
Pretty good. The Dueling Divas. It's a drag show. featuring Richard Peters and Kenny Brown at 8:30 tonight at the Silver Starlight Lounge, Rainbow Vision, Rodeo Road. Here's a phone number, 4281-7781. And whenever I go out late on Thursday night, like, I stagger over my words in the morning. I like to be honest about that. I went to the new 2nd Street at the Rail Yard. So I have a beer around 10 o'clock last night. It's kind of a nice, intimate, small space. It's got sort of a different feel than the other one.
Yeah, I've been meaning to go there.
Yeah, I didn't eat anything. But the lady brought nachos over to the table because there were some other people. And one of the people at the table said, why is the sour cream always like to the side instead of being... So when the lady came over, the nice waitress, I said, how come the sour cream is on the side here whenever you serve nachos? Because I want these questions answered. And she said...
Those are the big questions.
And she said, because it's the last thing we put on the plate. And that made sense. And that's probably why when you get a chocolate mousse pie, like the whipped cream is on the side.
Well, some things, when you put a liquid topping on them, if it sits there for a while, then the chips become soggy and stale,
right,
and it's gross. So you should spoon it on right before you're going
to
eat it.
But I didn't want to hear that answer while I was getting ready to eat this stuff, so I was glad she told me what she told me.
Dwayne Roller, Cleopatra, a Biography, presented by Women's Voices at Collected Works Bookstore on Tuesday at 5 o'clock in the evening.
Oh, a new biography of Cleo?
Apparently.
Did you ever see that Claudette Colbert movie where she was Cleopatra?
No, I didn't.
I think that's the one where she takes a milk bath. And it's hilarious because she's in the bath and Claudette was like sexy. In the 30s, Claudette would have been the one I would have been pursuing. And she's got like these women helping her. Like women were always helping women take baths in those days, which I like about those old movies. I don't know why. I don't think that happens much today, but if it does, I want to know about it. But anyway, so... Wait a minute, what was I saying?
I have no idea.
Oh, it ends with a great line because it's so 1930s. The maids on the side of the pool that are dressed while she's nude in the bath, they're like giving her the gossip, and Claudette says to him, as Cleopatra. All right, enough about that. Take off your clothes and get in here and tell me the rest. It's a funny little bit. Wait a minute, I don't know if that was in Cleopatra or the Sign of the Cross. It was Cleopatra, I think. Anyway, Claudette Colbert was sexy. I don't know if that's in his book.
Okay. I'm completely now educated about that. But Biography of Cleopatra, I think we're going to do an interview that to air on Tuesday morning, so you can listen to that and then go to the event. And then also Collected Works, Fruit Tree and Orchard Scouting in the Southwest with orchardist Gordon Tooley, presented by the Santa Fe Botanical Gardens. And that is on Thursday of next week at 6 o'clock. Lots of stuff going on at Collected Works Bookstore, which, as I always say, but I'm going to say it again, is now a really comfortable, nice space with those couches and
community
chairs
space.
And a little stage and coffee shop and all that kind of stuff. And they still have the same great books.
Speaking of community, the Santa Fe Community Orchestra is going to be
yes, this weekend they're doing something.
Sunday at the Lenzic, and donations are welcome. And you're going to hear Copland, Prokofiev, those other guys, Tchaikovsky.
Do you say them all wrong on purpose?
No, the only ones I can pronounce really well are Bach and Mozart. Okay. That's why I probably listen to them more than the other guys, in case somebody wants to query me about them. One thing, though, I do is, like, pretend to have my mouth full of nachos and you don't have to answer. Oh, another thing. Do you ever do this? Like, two people come up to you and you know one of them and you don't know the other. You know the other, but you can't remember their name because you interview so many people.
It happens to me a great deal.
So sorry, you hope that the other person says, oh, by the way, I'm Janine. And the other one says, oh, hello, I'm Molly. And then they don't do it. So what do you do? What I do is I say, do you two know each other? You should introduce yourselves. Except now I just told you, so people are going to figure out. Because
yes.
I interview
so many
people.
You just gave away your secrets on the radio.
All right, anyway, the Santa Fe Community Orchestra is going to be doing this gig. Moving People's Involved. They're going to play the animated movie El Salón Mexico. Santa Fe Public Schools Orchestra Program. String players are going to play at 4. Let me see. What else? Ah, the New Mexico Artisans Market. 10 to 4. Sunday at the Farmer's Market.
Excellent.
Meanwhile,
Leon Cohen will speak on give a lecture titled Small but Significant, the Jewish Community of Carlsbad, New Mexico. That's on Sunday, the 7th of March at 2 o'clock at the Jewish Community Center in Albuquerque. For our listeners a little further south than Santa Fe, sponsored by the New Mexico Jewish Historical Society.
And on the topic of Jewishness, Nice Jewish Girls Gone Bad.
I didn't give the phone number. The phone number is 986-9955. That's the Santa Fe phone number.
Well, you're definitely going to want the phone number of the Nice Jewish Girls Gone Bad, because anytime girls go bad, I want to be there.
And no doubt you are.
8 o'clock.
In fact, you make them go bad.
I'm naughty. That's true. Never mind that. 8 o'clock
true,
on Monday
said,
at Back
coyly.
Road Pizza on 2nd Street. The girls are going to be playing. It's a combination of vaudeville and burlesque. You got to pay to get in at the door. You can call in advance for tickets. Here's the number. 955-9055. The Nice Jewish Girls Gone Bad will perform at 8 o'clock Monday.
Most excellent. And then tomorrow from 4 to 6 at the Santa Fe Convention Center, the American Society for Neurochemistry presents a public outreach forum called Nutrition, Exercise, and Dietary Supplements Impact on Physical Health and Brain Function. And so they're going to be people telling you basically how to keep your brain young and healthy and flexible and all that kind of stuff.
Excellent.
Yeah. And for more information, 505-272-4411.
As I move from Paso Tiempo to the city desk, Paso Tiempo gets new and exciting writers, including Casey Sanchez. He's got a biography of the new Tammy Wynette book in there today. Take a look at the book page. Jill Batson did a review on Alexis Sherman's new book, War Dances. So take a look there. I wanted to mention the...
I love it when Sherman Alexie publishes a new book. It makes me happy. He's such a great writer.
I haven't read this one, but I agree with you on that count. I want to talk about the dinosaurs in Albuquerque, but I can't find it. Oh, there they are. Walking with Dinosaurs. I know we're a little bit time off, but it's March 17th. It's at Santa Ana Stark Center. I don't know how you feel about taking people to a casino to see huge dinosaurs, but they claim that, like, this is going to be great for the kids, that the dinosaurs, 17 of them, are going to roam the arena. So I guess they're going to be like CGI somehow, except in real life, and not puppets. So you want to bring the kids down, get ready. Walking with Dinosaurs. My guess is if you Google that, you'll find out more info. It opens on the 17th. It only runs for 4-5 days. I might even go down there and see those guys. I loved dinosaurs when I was a kid. I had all these great books, and I don't know why I didn't keep them. Because they had pictures of dinosaurs, and I loved them.
Speaking of great books, St. John's College, 2010 Music on the Hill benefit event, Nacha Mendez will be playing on Tuesday, the 9th of March at Capitol Grill. Capitol Grill will donate 20% of its restaurant sales to benefit St. John's College 5th annual Music on the Hill. Latin jazz vocalist Nacha Mendez, she's fantastic. And for more information, she's going to be there on Tuesday, March 9th, and again on Tuesday, March 16th and 23rd at Capitol Grill and all sorts of other places. Let's see. For more information, I guess you can call St. John's College, 984-6000.
Tonight at 5, 21 and under. Art sale and poetry readings, not only by artists who are 21 and under, but my understanding is you won't have to pay more than 21. This is going to benefit Santa Fe Public Schools' wonderful Adelante program, which I've been researching for a story, benefits homeless students in the school system. 5 o'clock tonight at the BF Young Building on Camino Sierra Vista. Call 490-1970 or head on over there between 5 and 8, and I hope to make an appearance myself. Did we talk about how dreams affect your writing?
I don't think so.
Well, on Saturday, Carrie Sullivan Walden and Joan Gilfen do that. Talk about how dreams affect your writing at 5 o'clock, and this is pure coincidence. I didn't notice before, but it's at Collected Works down on Galisteo. So what do dreams do for you?
I think they keep me sane. I think the function of dreaming psychologically is to process all the stuff that you deal with in your day or in your week or in the time you're living in, and it just sorts your mind out so that you are calm or relatively calm and not crazy. People who are deprived of dreams, even if they're sleeping but not dreaming, apparently go bananas.
Oh, so I should be happy about my dreams even if I don't understand them.
Oh, yeah. I think there are some dreams occasionally that are to be understood, but when I remember my dreams, they're mostly brain garbage. They're not worth thinking about. They're just worth getting up, brushing your teeth, and feeding your dogs.
Uh-huh. Do you ever have erotic dreams?
Oh, no. But speaking of erotic dreams, there is... When is this... Is this tonight? You go on. I've got to check something.
About the erotic dream stuff tonight. I didn't know that. I was just joking.
Okay, here we go. Tonight, the film called Orgasm Inc. screens at the Santa Fe CCA at 5:45. The filmmaker will be there, and it's basically a kind of expose of the pharmaceutical industry and how they are. It's just, you know, where money and sex and health come together. This woman, Liz Cantor, whom I interviewed, I think it was yesterday, did a documentary after having worked at this pharmaceutical company that was trying to develop a kind of female Viagra.
That's right.
It's a good movie. I liked it.
Well, money, sex, and health can come together, and when you're talking about orgasms, hopefully so will the couple involved with the lovemaking. Hey, one thing that I really like here is that the School for Advanced Research lecture is going to be doing a story, a talk on cylinder jars and chocolate in Chaco Canyon. What do you make of that?
Would need more information to make anything of it.
Like, do you think the ancient Pueblo people were, like, putting chocolate in cylinder jars back in, like, you know, 18 BC?
I don't know.
Well, Patricia...
Why don't you tell us?
Patricia Crown, the archaeologist, will tell us more at 3 o'clock on Tuesday at the School for Advanced Research Boardroom on Garcia Street. No charge, 954-7203. So head on over there if you want to know about cylinder jars and chocolate. I can see people being very interested in chocolate, but I don't know how many people would care about cylinder jars, but there must be people that collect those things.
I'm sure there are, and archaeologists are very interested in those kinds of things.
Well, especially because they're studying archaeology.
That would be the reason, indeed.
At Whole Foods Market on Thursday, Grace Burleigh's show, Wildflowers in Spring, opens with a reception at 5:30. The show runs through March. This is at Whole Foods Market on Cerritos Road, 992-1700. And at that night, the B-side players doing Latin funk and rock are going to play at the Santa Fe Brewing Company at 7:30.
I remember them. They're good.
Got to pay to get in. And then a lot of people want to know about Sherlock Holmes, the new movie with Robert Downey Jr., which is still playing.
I didn't go because I was boycotting it because apparently it was so violent, but then everybody said I was wrong.
Well, it's got violence, but so does, reruns of My Three Sons. Anyway.
No, they don't. Anyway, who reruns that
of
stuff?
Charlie's Angels. I was thinking of the wrong trilogy. The Renison Institute for Lifelong Learning is going to give you a little lecture with Saul Cohen at 2 o'clock Thursday. My Life with Sherlock Holmes. So I don't know whether Saul Cohen knew him, whether this is from the point of view of Watson, whether, you know, this was the maid's point of view. 2 o'clock, St. John's Methodist Church on Old Pecos Trail. Got to pay to get in. 982-9274. If you're curious about Sherlock Holmes, and this should be if it's elementary, dear Watson, head on over there, 2 o'clock Thursday. Say, what time is it?
8:52.
My goodness, time flies when I chat.
From your point of view.
Open mic night at Tiny's on Tuesday, 6 o'clock.
And also at El Farol, no?
That night?
Tuesdays, don't they have a... is there an open mic night at El Farol? A friend of mine keeps telling me to go there on Tuesdays.
No, but Thursday night is Savor playing Cuban music at El Dorado Hotel.
Yay.
Bill Hearn's at the La Fonda that night playing country at 8 o'clock. I think I went into the Santa Fe... where the hell was I last night? Second Street Brewery at the Rail Yard?
Uh-huh.
I think they said Bill Hearn was playing there tonight at 4:30 with no cover, so head on over there. Also tonight, the Ore House, Jim Elman playing Americana, 2:30 in the afternoon to about 5:30. Corazon has Latter Day Jazz with Clark Bransford and Ward at 5 o'clock.
Did
no
you
cover.
Say Corazon?
I did. That's the pronounced.
That's the Spanish way, as opposed to the Latin American way.
Okay, well, sometimes I learn things when you're not around. And,
well, that's a good thing, because the only time I'm around is from 8:30 to 9 on Fridays.
See? I put out my heart, I try to be friendly. Puppet Tales is Saturday. It's 4 and 6:30, Wise Fool. Puppets. Those guys are always fun. Unless
yes,
they
indeed.
Come after you at like 2 in the morning and they have sticks. That's never amusing.
You know that from experience.
Well, in my dreams.
Your dreams. Now, what do your dreams do for you?
Well, it depends. If Elkie Summer and Ursula Andress are in them, and it's circa 1978, they do quite a bit.
No, really?
Dream.
I answered you seriously.
I have strange dreams that are sometimes funny. I don't understand. Things that suggest this part of your life is cluttered, this part of your life is going well. My dog shows up in my dream. Occasionally I have dreams with zombies, which I don't like.
Really?
But they're not nightmares. I'm very comfortable, you know, fighting them. And I often have dreams that I'm, with a bevy of women, and they are, for reasons I can't quite comprehend, slowly but surely disrobing. I never have dreams...
You're just making that up.
...that take me back to my past, do you? Although once in a while, I'm in math class, which terrifies me, because I'm terrible with numbers, but I'm very good with figures. And I occasionally will have a dream I'm back in the military, which is odd. But besides that, they're usually like something going on in my life. And I try to think about them. I don't write them down. I don't obsess on them.
You know. I find them very hard. I used to remember them and keep a dream journal. Now I almost never remember them. And when I do, I let them go.
Have I ever been in one of your dreams?
Not that I know of.
Well, let's change that.
It's hard to control that. It's the one thing you can't control.
When you go to bed, just say to yourself, Robert Knott, come to me in my dreams. I want to see you. Dot, dot, dot. We'll let the imagination fill in the dot, dot, dot.
Girls Incorporated of Santa Fe is accepting applications from fine artists and craftspeople to participate in the upcoming 38th Annual Arts and Crafts Show to be held on August 7th from 9 in the morning till 6 in the evening and Sunday, August 8th at the Santa Fe Plaza. It's a juried event, 250 artists, 300,000 visitors. So if you want to apply and be part of this show, you can go to girlsincofsantafe.org or contact Tiffany at 982-2042.
There's plenty of museums in town. Check them out. Sunday is free, and a lot of them for New Mexico residents. The Governor's Gallery over in the Capitol still has the FSA Photographers of New Mexico. I took a look at it. Interesting.
What's FSA?
The Museum of International Folk Art has Dancing Shadows, Epic Tales, the Indonesian shadow puppets running through mid-March. FSA is like the, what do you call it? Sort of like pseudo-New Deal stuff where they were capturing the socio-political lives of people within the landscape. But it's not quite, what do you call that New Deal stuff?
WPA?
Yeah, it's not WPA. It's slightly different. I don't know if it's the federal something project, but that's what I get. See, I come on the air, and I never know what the hell I'm going to talk about.
It's okay.
And then
it really is.
Somebody says, you know, do your research, and what? I got out of bed 2 minutes before I got over here.
And don't forget, the CCA has all sorts of, you already said that, all sorts of good movies. If you want to go to a movie on the big screen, check out, what do you know about White Ribbon?
White Ribbon. Robert Benziger of the Pasta Tiempo thinks it's a pretty exciting atmospheric thriller. It's playing over at CCA. Something about strange happenings over there
World
in a
War
pastoral
I.
village in Germany. Nominated for Best Foreign Language Film, Academy Award. It's very long, about 2.5 hours. A Single Man is still over there.
I like that movie.
Shutter Island is still running at Regal 14. It's getting some decent reviews. People say it's a fun show. The Young Victorias at DeVargas. She's up for an Academy Award there.
And there's a Korean film called Old Partner. It's apparently the highest grossing independent film in the history of Korea. It's a magical documentary that follows the relationship between a 40-year-old cow and a farmer, 79-year-old farmer.
Oh, I got my dog back.
I'm going to see that.
I went and paid my fine. Get your dog shot and get the license.
Get your dog shot.
The rabies shot.
Okay.
So my doggie, Rio, I got him home. It was traumatic. I took Monday off. I went and got him. He was just so happy to see me. He wasn't happy to get a rabies shot. We got him licensed. Everybody was very professional and kind. Do not get your dog in a situation. Go and get all the shots. Get your license. And send me $2 in cash for this advice. Make it under the table.
Robert Knott is here with us just about every Friday. Speaking of the arts.
I try to.
He is the education writer for the Santa Fe New Mexican. He writes for the Pasa Tiempo, Friday Arts Magazine, and the Santa Fe New Mexican.
And I'm not short, dumpy, and bald like a lot of people think when they hear my voice.
They think that you're short, dumpy, and bald?
This is what I hear, particularly
but
from
you're,
women.
But you're tall, light, and predictable.
I'm telling you, one of these days.
You've been listening to the Santa Fe Radio Cafe. My name is Mary Charlotte. We are broadcasting live from the Santa Fe Baking Company, streaming on the web at ksfr.org, podcasting at santafe.radiocafe.org, thanks to Santa Fe's .foil computer services. You can subscribe to the show on iTunes, and you can find us at facebook.com/radiocafe. My email address is radiocafe@ksfr.org. Thanks to Mary Lynn LeBlanc for engineering today. Stay tuned for the BBC, followed by local news by KSFR's award-winning news team, and after that, jazz a la carta. No, you are tall, medium light, and mysterious.
And on a scale of 1 to 10, how handsome am I?
11.
Oh, you are so wonderful. wonderful today. It just cheered me up immensely.
There we have it, ladies and gentlemen. Have a wonderful day. Be happy. Wear your seatbelt. Lots of great theater in Santa Fe.
Do the chow.
Okay. Hasta la vista.
Keep going.
Chow.